Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I'm going to actually preach what I preached this past Sunday in Scottsboro, and that's not just because I don't feel like preparing another sermon, because to be honest with you, I like preparing sermons. That's not work to me. It's a joy to get to do that. I'm preaching that because God has already spoken to me and told me that it's a word for now that you need to hear, and what He is speaking and what He's saying, and it'll come out completely different than it did then. But I want to give you a little bit of a prelude or a little bit of a lead-in to that sermon, because that what I'm talking about on Sunday is having effective faith. How many of you guys want to have effective faith? I want to have effective faith. I want to have a faith that works. Amen. The book of James says faith without works is dead. I like to say it this way. Faith that isn't working is dead. It's not that faith in and of itself is no good, but it's that we have allowed it to lay dormant. It's just like a gun has power to defend, but if we don't pick it up and put it to use, it's not going to defend anybody. Amen. It's the same way with faith. Faith is there. It's powerful. It has the ability to move mountains, but until we begin to put it into work and put it into action, it will remain useless, because faith without works is dead. And so I want to encourage you in our mutual faith. That's one thing that Paul said in one of his epistles. He said, I want to encourage you in our common, in our mutual faith. I want you to leave here tonight with your faith filled up and topped off. How many of you guys, when you fill up the gas tank, you top it off? Anybody else like me? When it's done, when that thing stops, no, it ain't done yet. I'm going to pump it a few more times and then it's going to stop and then I'm going to pump it again. That's how I want your faith to be here. I want to fill your faith up tonight. I want to top it off so that when you leave here, you have faith to believe God for anything and everything that you need, that He has spoken to you. I want you to leave like the guy that leaves. You ever seen somebody have to be wheelbarrowed out of a buffet? I have. I've seen somebody have to be wheelbarrowed out of a buffet. Why? Because walking wasn't an option, right? It wasn't. They'd had too much. I've seen someone, literally, Jeff, wheeled out of a buffet. It was in Atlanta, Georgia, go figure, and they were wheelbarrowed out of a buffet, right? Well, that's how I want you to leave tonight. You're just so full of faith that you can't hardly even make it to the door, okay? But one thing I want you to know, and we'll talk about this more on Sunday morning, is according to the book of Romans, you already have faith. Everyone is imputed faith by God. It says that to each man and woman has been given a measure of faith. God has given you faith already. But I want to add to that faith tonight. I want to build that faith. I want to encourage you to start working that faith out so that it can grow, because faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the more it grows. But how does faith come? Does anybody know in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as you hear God's word being spoken, your faith is being built up. Faith cometh by hearing. Another way that you build up your faith, if you go over to the book of Jude and you read verse 20, you will find out that it says that you can build up your faith, your most holy faith. How? By praying in the Spirit. If you're low, if you're having a hard time believing what God says, believing His word, believing that He will provide, believing that He will heal, believing that He will forgive, believing that He will do what He said He will do, just start praying in the Holy Spirit. Just start praying in your prayer language. Just begin to pray, because what that does is it builds up your most holy faith. So tonight, I want to build up your faith by speaking the word of God over you. I'm going to read the word of God, because in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and sometime when we have more time, I'll do a teaching on this about the difference between Rhema and Logos. How many of y'all have heard those words before? Rhema and Logos. Okay, those are the Greek words for word. Okay? And in some portions of the New Testament, we have the word rhema, and in some places, we have the word logos. And they both are the word word, but one means the spoken word of God, and one means the written word of God. Rhema is the spoken word of God. Logos is the written word of God. Both are powerful. If you go over to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. That is logos, the written word of God. This book right here is the Logos, Word of God. It is what we talked about last week and the week before on Wednesday nights. All Scripture is given by God, and it's profitable for our instruction, right? For reproof, for doctrine, for learning, for correction, that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good word. That's the Logos, Word of God. But the Rhema, Word of God, that's how faith comes, is when God speaks to me, my faith is built up, and I believe that whatever God said to me, I believe God can and God will do. So when God's Word is spoken, when God's Word is declared, faith is imparted to the hear. Now, not just the hear, meaning they heard the words, but someone who opens up their heart and hears with their heart. That's why Jesus would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, don't just hear me, listen to me. Don't just hear what I say, but open up your heart. Don't just hear with your physical ears, but hear with your spiritual ears. Why? Because when you hear with your spiritual ears what God says, faith comes into your life because it comes by hearing, hearing by the rhema, by the spoken word of God. Is when God speaks to you. How many of you have heard God speak to you before? Was your faith not built up? Was it not encouraged to know that when God is speaking his word and I hear him, I believe him, that what he said, and my faith is at an all-time high. And so I want to look tonight at the Word of God and allow it to strengthen our faith and encourage us. And I want to start in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read 1, 2, 3, 4 passages of Scriptures really, really quickly to you tonight. And then I'm going to talk for just a few minutes. If you'll give me maybe 10 or 15 more minutes. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. If you're quick enough, you can turn there with me. If you're not quick enough, follow along, okay? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's great, but this is what I really want to get to right here. For by it, by what? By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Listen what Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 to the church at Colossae. He said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Listen to this. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of all your love for the saints. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. If you go to the book of Romans, Paul would write to the church in Rome and say this, for I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. I want to ask you tonight, what's being said about your faith? All of these scriptures, the patriarchs, they obtained a good testimony by their faith. Meaning people saw their faith, people heard about their faith. You go to the church at Colossae, the church at Rome, the church at Ephesus. Paul says, I heard about your faith. And into the church at Rome, he said, all around the world, they're talking about you guys. Why? Because of your faith. I want to ask you, is your faith even being talked about? Because their faith was being, thank you for your honesty, Royce. I appreciate it. Because none of the adults would be honest enough to say it. It takes faith like a child to say, no, my faith really isn't being talked about. I wish it was, but it's not. He wrote to these churches, he said, your faith, people are literally telling me, these guys are believing in faith over here. It's being talked about all around the world. And I think that we ought to have that type of faith that causes people to talk about us. The early church had a faith that was worth talking about. That's why they made such a difference. They had confidence in God that was so strong that it caused the entire world to chatter and to talk about them. Some, I'm sure, spoke good things and other people spoke bad things. Listen, it's okay for people to talk bad about your faith. I'm okay with people laughing at what I'm believing for. Why? Because I'm not believing for them. I'm believing in God. And they may be talking bad about me and saying, it's ridiculous to think that. It's ridiculous to think that everybody in Fort Payne can get saved. It's ridiculous to think that you can be, you know, protected from COVID. Nobody's safe from COVID. You can't be protected without the vaccine. You can't be protected without the mask. I've got the blood of Jesus, and I'm not against whatever you want to do and whatever you decide is right for your family. I will not judge you in any way. But I just choose to believe that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Anything that comes against me, I've got a faith to believe that he is greater than anything outside that is trying to come in. This vessel is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And again, I'm not judging anybody. What you have decided is best for your family. You need to, each man needs to be fully convinced within his own mind. That's where I stand on this thing. But The people in the early church had the confidence in God that he was so strong, that he was so able, that people were talking about him. You know why people were talking about their faith? Because their faith was effective. Because nobody talks about your faith if your faith isn't effective. But because what they were believing in, which was God, was causing signs and wonders and miracles, the Bible says that thousands were entering into the kingdom of God and getting saved on a daily basis. They were literally living in such a way that everything became common amongst them. If somebody had a debt that needed to be paid, somebody in the church would rise up and pay that debt. That's how close-knit the church was together. That's how faithful the church was to God and to each other, and they were full of faith. So people were talking about them. You know why? Because faith wasn't a game to them. Faith wasn't a topic in a sermon to them. Church wasn't just some social club that they attended. Church wasn't just something they did. It was their life. Their life was dedicated to their faith, to believing God. They lived and they breathed by faith. It was in their heart. They trusted God in everything and for everything because they were people of faith. And because of how they lived, listen, it wasn't their personalities that Paul bragged about. It wasn't their beautiful building. He didn't say, hey, I've heard about the million-dollar building that you guys are building. Hey, I've heard about your programs with Bozo the Clown and Foo Foo the Dog. Hey, I've heard about, you know, your great, you know, amazing parking lot team. None of that stuff is wrong if it's done with the right heart. But that's not what he was bragging about. He was bragging on their faith. Because faith is what pleases God. If you go over to Romans chapter 11, you keep reading beyond what we read a few moments ago. It says in verse 6, in fact, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Meaning no faith brings no pleasure to God. But when we walk in faith, he's pleased and he's honored. And Paul was saying, I want to brag on you guys because they're talking about y'all's faith everywhere. So he says in Hebrews, I want to go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. It says that by it, speaking of faith, the patriarchs or the elders really is what it says. The elders of our faith, they obtained a good testimony. By the patriarchs, it goes down to list. It's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They obtained a good testimony by their faith. That means when you look up the definition of they obtained a good testimony, it means exactly what Paul is saying to everyone else. It says it means that they were commended by people for the way that they believed God. They were commended. People would actually congratulate them for the way that they so faithfully served and believed God, which means they didn't have a weak faith. They didn't allow doubt to drown out what they believed God could do. And I want to focus just for a few moments, give me just a few more moments tonight, on Abraham. Because Abraham, we know him as the father of our faith, right? Everybody calls Abraham the father of faith. Because Abraham, the Bible says, believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now, what's amazing to me about Abraham is God first shows up to Abraham and speaks to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham is 70 years old, okay? He's not a spring chicken. But God speaks to him and says, I will bless you and I will multiply you greatly. I will make you a great nation, blessing you. Blessing, I shall bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. He says, he basically gives Abraham this huge promise. At that time, his name is Abram. And 70 years old, he promises him, you're going to be a great nation. For 30 years, that promise didn't come. Now, Abraham, well, really, Sarah got a little impatient, tried to make it happen in her own timing. And any time that you try to make God's promise happen on your time, all you will ever produce is an Ishmael. Ishmael was nothing but problems between Isaac and Israel. There was fighting. There was disagreements over and over. And even today, do you know that the Muslim faith, they find their father to be Ishmael? And that's still what the war that we're fighting today. That's still the problem that we're facing is because Sarah and Abraham tried to make God's promise happen in their time. But Abraham and Sarah, so Sarah was really the one that was the spearhead behind that. But Abraham waited 30 years to see the promise, okay? He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And listen what Romans chapter 4, verse 17 through 22 says about Abraham. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. That's God speaking. In the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, speaking of Abraham now, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. This is what I want to point out to you right here. It says, and not being weak in faith. He did not consider his own body already dead. Since he was about 100 years old, in the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham held on to this promise of having a son for 30 years. It says, who contrary to hope, hoped. What that means is, if you look up that definition, is against all probability, he still believed God. The probability of a woman who is 90 and a man who is 100 bearing a child is zero to none. But Abraham still held out hope. He still believed God. Why? Because God had spoken to him. So with man, this may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God put things like this in the scripture to show us that when somebody tells you it's impossible, if God spoke it, if God said it, if God put it in his word, if he has given you a promise, he will complete it. He who promised is also able to perform. And so if God spoke it, I believe it. If all you've got tonight is a word of God, you're one of the richest people in the entire world. Because greater than any dollar, greater than any euro, greater than any Bitcoin or whatever you want to talk about for currency, the greatest currency that men and women have has been dealt to every single one of us, and it's a measure of faith. And if we will trust God and we will believe God, if we have a word from him and faith comes by hearing, hearing by a word of God, you are one of the richest people on the earth because you can stand on that word. You can take it to a bank. I believe that every promise from God is like a check that is made out to you and it will never bounce. How many of y'all have ever been written a bad check before? I've had someone write me a bad check before. Worst. I know y'all own your own business. I'm sure you've had to go through this before. It ends up costing you money, doesn't it? It doesn't work that way with God. When God promises you, because that's what people should really, what they're doing is they're promising you, hey, this is good. Well, when God promises you, it's a check that you can take and you can cash every single time. And I'm not talking about monetary things. I'm talking about his promises. All of his promises are yes and in him, amen. His word will not return to him void. Whatever he sets out to do, it shall also accomplish. He will be faithful to do whatever it is he has spoken to you. But here's the thing. Take a lesson from Abraham. It may not happen exactly when you want it to happen. 30 years. Might be 30 days for you, might be 30 minutes, might be 30 years. I don't know. But here's the deal. Abraham never stopped believing. Contrary to hope, he hoped. He did not believe that he was already beyond the years of bearing a child. He believed that whatever God spoke, he could do. So it may not happen exactly when you want it, but if there's one thing I've learned, it's this, that when you wait on the Lord, it makes you stronger. Isaiah chapter 40, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So waiting may seem like a curse, but really waiting is a blessing because what you don't realize is the waiting that God is bringing you into is actually preparing you and strengthening you for what he's about to give to you. And so don't be frustrated in the season of the waiting, thinking it hasn't come yet. Where is God? Has he forgotten about me? God hasn't forgotten about you. God knows exactly where you are, exactly what you have need of, exactly what you're going through, but his timing is perfect and you just need to wait on him and trust him. So don't let anything sway you. Stay in the faith. And I love this about Abraham. It says, not being weak in faith. That word weak in the Greek means diseased. He did not allow his faith to become polluted and diseased. You ever had a plant in your garden get diseased or maybe you've had a disease attack your body or attack your immune system or you know someone that has, what can happen in our life is when we allow doubt to come in, it can and it will disease our faith. But Abraham, it says, was not weak in faith. In other words, he protected himself against becoming diseased by doubt. And so don't let the negative thoughts of the enemy, don't let the condition of the world pollute your faith. Stay strong in faith. Keep in faith. One way that you build up your faith, like I said, praying in the Holy Ghost, reading the Word of God, asking God to speak to you, hearing his voice, choose to believe God that even when the circumstances don't line up with what he has said, if you will wait, they eventually will. Because that's what happens is we begin to doubt because we're like, it doesn't look like what you said it was going to look like. Just wait. If you will wait, he will be faithful. And eventually those circumstances will line up with his promise. Why? Because anything he says, he can and he will complete. Amen? Amen. Go ahead and stand to your feet with me tonight. I told you I wasn't going to keep you too long. I just want to encourage you to stay in faith tonight. Maybe God spoke something to you 20 years ago. Maybe he spoke something to you last year. maybe spoke something to you during worship, stay in faith. Just continue to believe him. Continue to trust God. If you said it, I believe you will do it. Be like Abraham, who against all hope, hoped. He wasn't weak in faith. That means he was strong in faith. And so I want to pray over you tonight that God would strengthen your faith to be able to trust him and believe him that whatever he promises, he's able to do. So if you want to receive that, would you just lift your hands tonight? Father, I pray over your people. I thank you that they are here in your house tonight because they do believe. They are soldiers of faith. They are good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And I declare right now, the enemy will not take them out. Doubt will not take them out. Fear will not take them out. Worry will not take them out. But they are going to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And they're going to walk in the faith that you have given to each man, God. And I pray for our faith to be strengthened as we begin to work it out, God, as we like Abraham and we don't waver concerning the promise, but we believe that he who promised is also able to perform, God. I thank you that we don't have to perform it, but you're going to perform it, God. And we just surrender ourselves to you right now. God, I pray for favor over your people. And I pray for faithfulness, 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 God, to believe you at all costs. God, I pray that we would have the type of faith that people talk about. Just even right now, we're still talking about Abraham, even though he lived thousands of years before us. God, I pray that we would have the type of faith that some may laugh at, others may be inspired by, but people would be talking about our faith and it would draw people to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not to us. We don't want any recognition or we don't want to be put on a pedestal. But God, we want people to see faith inside of us, belief in you, your power, your might, your dignity, your power in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace in Jesus' name. Amen.